His Master's Voice by Mark Taverner, starring Robert Hardy, Tony Gardner, Amelia Bullmore, and Michael Maloney.
The answer to the problems of the countryside is carpet bombing.
Rather.
Proud of this week's column, are you?
Modestly, sir.
The pathetic whinings of these tweed-knickered snobbos demands action. We should at once launch a task force and take out Berkshire. Giles, this newspaper is now committed to compassionate conservatism. I don't think that includes taking out Berkshire.
It was a bit of blue skies thinking.
A blue sky full of bomber pilots? The Blue Touch paper is a Tory magazine. How many of our readers do you suppose live in the home counties or the countryside generally? Loads of them.
Oh, the readers. Always the readers.
Well, I am the editor, for pity's sake. I'm supposed to be building the readership, not annihilating it. Look, your column is called A Word from the Loosh. This isn't loosh. This is gratuitous abuse.
Some of the finest writing ever to appear in this paper has been nothing but gratuitous abuse. Anyway, it is loosh. Have you ever seen me in jodhpurs?
No, Giles, but I do know how to use a whip. Go and write something loosh. The merits and demerits of tweed knickers. There's a good subject.
Crushed. Rejected. Very well, O Master. I obey.
I do hope so, Giles.
Now tell me you've grown up and you're reconciled to being political editor for the time being.
I don't think I need lectures on being grown up. And as for being reconciled to not being editor, as the owner of Blue Touch, how reconciled are you?
He's edited one issue and it's sold. I don't like what he did with the paper. I hated it, but it's sold. And it leaves me a problem. I told him he could have a free hand, and he used it to make me money. Now, I don't like editors with their hands free. You never know what they might do with them.
Wait till you see what he's doing with this week's.
What's he doing with this week's?
David Cameron's green agenda.
Oh, God.
Look, when you hired Keith, you knew what you were getting. A Cameron-loving 60s relic. If you're going to San Francisco, you better bloody walk, because you're not allowed to fly.
You can't. We can't have all this stuff about flying in one of my papers. I spend my life on planes. I suppose that makes me one of the worst villains on the planet. Mm. I've never had any time for this environment stuff. Who was that pretentious Pillock who wanted us to stop chopping down forests?
You mean Sting?
I mean Pillock. For God's sake! Chopping down forests was the start of human civilization. If we'd never chopped down forests, we'd still be grunting at each other through the foliage.
I couldn't have put it better myself.
Well, of course you couldn't. And I like watching ice melt. It's one of life's simple pleasures. Do you know what Blue Touch should be doing? It should be organising cut-price flights for our readers to go and watch. Live ice melting. And then halfway around the planet for a 9-course banquet in Paris. That's the Blue Touch spirit.
Oh, then perhaps you and I can do something about it.
All right. I gave him a free hand. I'm giving you one. You've got a column in Blue Touch, use it. You've got friends in the House of Commons, use them.
Thank you.
Charlotte!
You wanted something, my lord?
Bring me a bucket of ice.
Certainly. And some champagne?
No, I don't want champagne. I just want to watch the bloody stuff melt.
Katrina, what are you doing?
I'm unscrewing the light bulbs. He wants to change them.
To what?
Well, green ones, I suppose. Actually, I don't know. Perhaps I'd better leave these where they are.
It's a perfect metaphor, isn't it? How many politicians does it take to change a light bulb? They don't. They unscrew the old one and then decide they better set up a policy review to decide what to do next. It meets in the dark forever and ever.
Yes. Sorry. Not quite awake this morning. I think Keith's enthusiasm must be catching. He burst in first thing and said, let's change all the light bulbs and save energy.
Oh, you don't think he's a fanatic, do you? I do so hate editors who are fanatics. We had a fanatical editor once. Wanted Maggie Thatcher to launch a nuclear attack on the French. Devoted 2 entire issues to the subject. Trouble was, she was rather in favour of the idea. Fortunately for all of us, he fell out of a window at the Manoir aux Quatre Saisons.
Ooh, I remember him.
A waiter said to him, I think sir's had too much burgundy. He said, there won't be any bloody burgundy when I finish. And then broke his neck.
Oh. Well, I don't think Keith's that sort of fanatic. He wants to declare love on everybody.
Well, up to a point. There's something terribly prissy and bossy about saving the planet. It almost seems an impertinence. Anyway, look, I'd better let you get on with some work. Can you tell our Supremo I've done 1,000 words on tweed underwear? I feel like a naughty boy who's been kept in.
You are a naughty boy, and you deserve to be kept in.
Anyway, it's on his computer. Where is he, by the way?
He's gone out with Anna.
Good heavens.
Yes, not so much Le Manoir aux Quatre Saisons as gunfight at the OK Corral.
I am not trying to suppress dissent.
You're doing a very good impression of it. We must agree with the leader. Party line, party line. What are we, New Labour?
They have just won 3 elections, of course.
Well, yes, all right. But in the end, we're not the party. We support it, but we're a paper, a political magazine. We've always welcomed dissenting voices.
As do I, but not from the paper's political commentator. It's essential that your column is at least broadly in sympathy with the party's direction.
But I'm not.
Well, then you'll have to pretend.
I think you will find his lordship thinks I should have a free hand, at least in this edition.
Oh, really? Well, look, I'll make you a deal. Write a political commentary that is at least neutral about David Cameron.
Clueless jerk. Is that neutral enough? Overgrown, overpromoted public schoolboy, how's that?
Anna, something neutral. Attack the Labour Party, you're good at that. In return, I'll give you a separate column, not the commentary, in which you can say broadly what you like about the Green agenda.
Broadly.
Provided you don't get personal.
But the personal is political, Keith, don't you find? I mean, do you know why I became a Conservative?
Firm conviction, presumably.
I was a little girl, growing up in the 60s. I remember Harold Wilson came on the telly, and I started crying. Then Dennis Healey came on, and I wet myself. I've been a Tory ever since. So hard to separate personal from political.
It is sometimes, Anna, yes.
It was good of Anna to arrange this meeting.
And it's good of you to see a pair of humble backbenchers.
Yes, it is. I have to leave for America in half an hour. I thought I might buy New York just for the hell of it. So, let's get on with it.
David, our leader, was elected fair and square by the party. He's ahead in the polls. He did well in the local elections. Those of us who are unhappy on the backbenches, and there are far more of us than you might think, have to tread very carefully.
You're not a great lover of the party leader. Well, we've got something in common. Yes, go on.
Well, I can put up with all this love and peace stuff. I mean, I'm a Conservative. Obviously, love and peace aren't my first preference. But if it plays well with voters, all right.
But it's this green stuff. It's a disaster.
My voters in Essex don't want this rubbish. And they especially don't want to be told that they can only take one flight per year by the gracious permission of his Etonian magnificence. People in Essex are very proud.
And they're especially proud of getting the hell out of Essex as often as possible.
Yes.
Well, the next election isn't going to be about all this anyway. I mean, frankly, if you think the British are going to say, we positively beg to pay more taxes in order to save the planet, you'll believe anything.
And you've come to me because I own 3 national newspapers. But they're already saying exactly what you're saying. OK, I agree with you, so what?
You do own Blue Touch as well.
And its circulation may be smaller, but it matters. It has an influence that's far bigger than its readership. And that isn't saying what we're saying.
OK. You want this green agenda crushed?
Yes.
And Blue Touch can help? Especially inside the party?
Exactly. It's the Thinking Conservatives paper.
And you read it?
Of course.
Extraordinary. Still, maybe we ought to talk a bit further about this. Now, I own a lot of papers. You don't. What are you bringing to the table?
We'll stir things up inside the party.
And Blue Touch can give us our due prominence.
No, that wouldn't work. You see, if we give you your due prominence, you'll get two lines on the lonely and desperate page at the back. I think we, or Enna, had better give you far more than your due prominence. Charlotte, come in here a minute, will you? Maybe we can work together. Let's talk about Blue Touch. Charlotte, I'm cancelling New York.
Oh, right.
Get hold of my deputy. Tell him to go.
Fine.
Something more interesting's come up here. Something that might be fun. And give my deputy a small bit of advice based on a lifetime's experience. Americans are never quite as stupid as you wish they were.
Let the Cameroons answer this.
Yeah, yeah.
Quiet, Giles.
Sorry.
If we human beings are responsible for melting ice caps on Earth, why are they melting on Mars?
Mars?
A killer fact, I rather think. Personally, do you blame society? Is global warming on Mars our fault? Hardly. Of course, David Cameron might make a rather good Prime Minister of Mars. Some people think his head's already there. One big carbon emission would take the rest of him.
Anna.
Yes?
Far be it from me to interfere.
Yes?
But aren't you under the instruction to lay off the personal?
That's not personal.
It is, a bit.
Well, what don't you like?
The suggestion in a conservative magazine that the leader of the Tory party should fart himself to a different planet. It's not helpful.
It is not my job to be helpful. It's my job to tell the truth. Quite apart from which, I've got the proprietor behind me.
And not for the first time. Ah, Katrina, dearest, oh, you look hassled.
Oh, I've just had a meeting with the editor. He wanted to know why the members were so unhappy. I ended up feeling thoroughly miserable. And tonight I've got a fundraising evening for my local party.
Oh, that's good.
No, it isn't. Dorcas, the secretary, has made one of her flans.
There's something terribly depressing about the word flan.
There's something fairly dispiriting about Dorcas, but she works so hard for the party. They all do.
And they're not happy? Oh, good.
Good to see you, Keith. How are things at Blue Touch?
Things are just fine. Thank you for asking, Your Lordship.
This week's issue. Bear in mind that you have got a free hand, and I've got two.
An excellent point, Lord Milan. Well, this is the special green issue.
I had heard.
And we've got Jonathan Porritt, Zach Goldsmith, a piece on bike lanes, one on organic farming, and two atmospheric Danish physicists.
Danish?
Yes.
Physicists?
Precisely.
Hells bells.
And because we at the Blue Touch paper believe in open debate, there will be dissenting voices.
Enna, whose piece you will publish in full.
I've already promised her that. And a polemic from John Redwood.
So we've got organic bicycles, green fruitcakes, two Danish headbangers, and John Redwood. And you're going to sell papers like this?
I think you'll find that our readers are passionately concerned about their environment.
You really believe that, don't you?
Certainly.
And so does your mate, the Notting Hill Nancy boy.
Lord Milan, and I say this with the level of respect a performing seal would pay to Lorenzo the Magnificent. He is the Prime Minister in waiting. He's going to win.
And as long as he wins, he keeps his job. He's not the only one, is he?
I imagine not, no.
All right, I said a free hand, and you've got it. On the streets, Friday morning. And I want you in my office by lunchtime, for better or for worse.
Right.
But not necessarily till death us do part. You do know how much opposition you're facing from MPs, don't you?
Mr. Chairman, I'm speaking to my Tory colleagues from the coalface, the battlefront, my constituency. And I'll tell you what the voters are concerned about. Hospitals, schools, guns. Guns in schools. The bread and butter issues. And the butter isn't organic either. We are not addressing the issues our voters care about. In any case, who are we, the Party of Freedom, to tell people how much they can and can't fly?
It's a civil liberties issue.
Yeah!
It is a civil liberties issue, but it's not just that. Our measures, us, the Tories, the party of Margaret Thatcher, will hit business travellers and hit the poorest of my voters, both at the same time. It's genius.
Reverse genius.
Look at our businessmen and women looking for new markets all around the world. Do you think they're doing it for fun? They're doing it for Britain.
Good morning, noble one.
No, it isn't. Have you seen the papers?
I have glanced at them, yes.
Giles, when was the last time a speech from a backbencher got front-page coverage?
You're probably going back to Enoch Powell.
Precisely. Well, listen to this. Our political masters are doing their worst. They are trying to lock us in a miserable country where we can all stay at home and eat stinging nettle salad by candlelight. Thank heaven that one man speaks for Britain, and his name is Damien Kowalski.
Who?
Yes, who? He's a dinosaur. A Neanderthal backbencher who just doesn't get it. So what the hell is he doing on the front of this paper?
I hesitate.
Don't hesitate, Giles. I welcome all suggestions.
Well, had you perhaps considered the ownership of the paper?
This is one of Milan's papers.
So is this one.
Let's see. Oh, good. Britain is going to be honoured once more by a visit from failed stateside politician Al Gore, the Einstein of the environment. Al Gore spends his life flying round the world to preach at the rest of us. So now we know humbugs are green. And this is on the front page as well.
Yes, and now this one takes a slightly jauntier view.
Under David Windbag's latest proposals, we won't be allowed to turn our tellies on. Oh, for pity's sake, this is a sustained attack.
It does look that way.
By Milan. And he sat there yesterday with that thin smile you can just about see through his chins. And all the time he was intending this.
Those cruel chins.
I have been set up. I've been screwed. I've been nailed to a fudge stall.
Venom, vitriol and vituperation, and that's just in my first paragraph.
And I've been on The World at One and Channel 4 News, and I'm doing Newsnight tonight. Thanks, of course, to you and the publicity generated by your papers.
And the leader has been made aware of the level of unhappiness in the party at this left-wing nonsense.
And how has he responded?
With sublime indifference.
Etonian disdain. He thinks we're stupid, ignorant peasants.
He thinks that?
Yes.
Amazing. Can you believe that, Enna?
Well, in my column, I've called you the two leading thinkers of the Tory right.
And I suppose it may even be true.
Anyway, let's see if our poll findings will shake him out of his public school complacency.
Ah, thank you. Now, this is an opinion poll commissioned by me. You know, it's damn difficult nowadays to find a reputable opinion pollster who'll sort out a poll to say what you want it to. Fortunately, I know a disreputable one.
And they've told you the results?
No, I've told them the results. Then they did the polling. Would you support the Tories if they increased your taxes? 85% said no. That goes on the front pages of my dailies tomorrow.
Great. Of course, it doesn't say anything about saving the planet.
No, of course it doesn't. Saving the planet is noble. You never know what people might say, so you don't ask. Would you vote Tory if they took away your central heating and put a permanent clamp on your car? Now, that's a much better question. It should be. I wrote it.
You know, somebody was saying to me in the club the other day, why are politicians so keen on the environment?
Oh, yes.
Because saving the planet's so much easier than running the health service.
Giles, don't you start.
Right.
I've got troubles enough as it is. It's a strange thing, isn't it? Using three of your newspapers to campaign against the other one.
I expect it amuses him. We're a very small part of his business empire, you know. The Blue Touch paper is essentially a rich man's plaything. Something I've dreamed of being all my life.
It's odd, though, isn't it? I mean, here I am in a new job where the man who appointed me seems to want me to fail. And I'm supporting a leader, at least some of whose members, want him to lose. Very seductive, isn't it, opposition? being a professional loser.
You're not getting depressed, are you?
Certainly not. Dave is going to win and we're going to sell lots of copies of our green issue. You know, when all's said and done, Milan has a very personal interest in crushing the green agenda. Flying all over the world, deciding which bits of the planet to exploit next.
I do think I tend to avoid the personal, old boy.
Oh, I don't know. There are times when I rather like the personal. Gordon cannot escape responsibility.
That's what I'm saying.
He is part of a government which has brought our national affairs to the lowest ebb in decades. From the House of Lords to Blue Peter, British public life is tarnished, mucky and yucky. And Gordon has sat there for 10 years and let it happen. This is good stuff.
Thank you.
This dour, righteous son of the manse is nothing of the kind. He is a fellow traveller, a passive sleaze merchant, a coward and a pusillanimous panty wetter. You know, if I were Lord Milan, I think I'd call that last bit flash.
Nice one. Whilst Blair has debauched our moral standards, Brown has done nothing except jump out in a dirty raincoat and flash.
Yes, that's not... That's not quite what I meant, actually, and we're not saying it. All right, I'll buy pusillanimous, blah, blah. This is a very good piece, I like it.
Thank you. You may not like the other one so much.
The one where you tell most of the world's best scientists they're wrong?
The one where I tell the leader of our party he's wrong.
It's absolutely incredible. I can't believe the same person wrote both columns. One of them's excellent. The one on the green agenda is garbage. It's pathetic. She starts off by saying global warming isn't happening, so there.
It's a point of view.
But not her only one. In the next paragraph, she says, it's happening, but it's not our fault. It's the sun. It's the sun. What warmed it? Two paras down, she says it's our fault, but there's nothing we can do about it. And she ends up saying it's all terribly difficult, so let's drive up and down the M5 for the hell of it. It's rubbish!
Well, that's rather good news from your point of view.
I can rip this apart in half an hour.
It might not be a bad idea, actually, given how close we are to deadline.
You're quite right. Let's get on with it.
Keith, you might want to look at the opera critic.
Why the hell would I want to do that?
He reviews a performance at Covent Garden. He says it was like hearing Wagner performed by a seagull stuck in a food mixer. My Covent Garden hell from old seagull chops. The thing is, I think it might be defamatory.
Excellent. Run all of it. It'll sit very well with the rest of the magazine. If you think that... If you think that was defamatory, wait till you see my stuff in the morning.
The front cover.
Eye-catching, isn't it?
What is it?
It's a cat. With an obesity problem.
Have you ever seen that many chins on a kit?
Well, I grant you it would have a mobility problem. It would keep falling forwards.
Keith, I thought this was a paper written by intellectuals.
Oh, and I think you'll find it is. The atmospheric Danes even tried an intellectual joke. Wasn't funny, but they tried it.
And since when did this intellectual paper run competitions?
Oh, we've always run competitions. Literary ones, you know. Philosophical limericks, parodies of Martin Amis, that sort of thing. For £10 and a bonus bottle of scotch.
Who is Mr. Big Footprint? Who is the polluter from hell who jets round the world every 10 minutes, generating 25 times as much carbon as the average Briton? Is that a literary competition?
Not as such.
Email or text your answers. First prize, your own solar panel. Consolation prizes, cycling holidays in Yorkshire. And a year's supply of organic food. Details after our feline diet supplement. Are we making money out of this? Premium phone lines?
Emails and texts. We're not a television company.
Who wants to win this stuff?
Well, entries are in the low thousands so far.
What? Thousands?
But we did only hit the street 6 hours ago. We've had some strange answers. Everyone seems to want it to be Diane Abbott. But it isn't.
Lord Milan.
Not now.
But the thing is, we've caught the imagination of the nation.
What?
Everybody wants to know who Mr. Big Footprint is. The BBC are already running phone-ins about it. The first edition of the London Standard says, nice one, Blue Touch, wish we'd thought of it. We're selling out the entire print run.
Damn.
Very good, Lord Milan.
So who is Mr. Big Footprint?
Well, let me put it this way. If the big slipper fits, wear it.
Is this entire issue an intellectual joke?
Oh, no, no, no. I mean, put it this way. When an almighty propaganda war is declared on a tiny little paper, the issues and the leader it supports, well, and I say this with the salivating servitude of a youth trainee at the football boots of Cristiano Ronaldo... it takes two to tango.
The imagination of the nation. An entire print run. I suppose I have to congratulate you.
Oh, well...
you are not fired.
Right.
Now get out of my sight!
And I think we can safely say this week's issue was a triumph. Thank you, everybody. Well, almost everybody. I gather Mayfair tailors are running out of tweed underpants.
Another win for the louche.
And another win for the blue touch paper. Well, have a good weekend, everybody. Oh, Anna, hang around.
Well, good night.
Good night.
I thought we might have a word about your Greenpeace, so to speak.
You did a pretty good job of slaughtering it.
I thought so.
I admit, it wasn't the best thing I've ever written.
It was unworthy of a stupid, ignorant backbencher.
I think I may have got emotionally carried away.
Yes, yes, you do, don't you? If you ever bring me ranting incoherent drivel again, I won't publish all of it, or even any of it. I'm not sure I'll even pay you for it. Clear?
You seem to have won.
Well, put it this way, there won't be a vacancy for editor, at least until next week. Good night. Oh, dear. Never stops, does it? Your opera column was the biggest libel blah blah. It did not so much sing as old as... let's grunt it through her foliage. Oh, dear. Katrina.
Hi. Oh, you're not still working.
I've got to. I've got all the fallout from this week, and I've got to start next week's. Our Gordon Brown special.
Oh, well, I brought you a woolly hat and some flan from last night's fundraising. One of them's for eating. I'm not sure which.
A woolly hat?
So we can all save on our central heating. Oh, and we're all trying to win the cycling holiday.
Well, I'm very pleased to hear it. You know, next week's issue, the Gordon Brown one, it's going to be venomous, vituperative, a polemic against the Labour Party.
Good. Can't wait.
Now, you'd think, wouldn't you, that his lordship and my political commentator and myself would be able to work in perfect harmony on this. What do you reckon are the chances of that? What are the chances of winning the lottery?
14 million to one?
Yeah, I'd say they're about the same.
You've been listening to His Master's Voice by Mark Taverner with Robert Hardy, Tony Gardner, Amelia Bullmore, Michael Maloney, Rachel Atkins, Simon Treves, Beth Chalmers and Eve Webster. The producer was Dawn Ellis.